Museum, Greenwich Hospital. Whether it's art, music, local events, and parties, let my friends become your friends. Join me, Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Over the hump of the work week, we're in Thursday, and now the tail end of this week. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Doubleheader. I'm Rob Adams. It's 4:06 on this Thursday afternoon. We've made it to February 16th, 2023. Having a little fun today. I know I've mentioned it to you in the past that I'm taking a lot of the old cassette tapes of old WGCH broadcasts, and I'm digitizing them. Converting them over and getting them on my computer and getting them online as well. So I'm in the middle of pulling my third game today. These are oldies. This is 2002 because we have not used cassette tapes, I think, since 2004 was, I think, when we fully converted. We kind of partially converted to recording on computers, and then eventually, whoop, away went the cassettes altogether. So I'm in the middle of my third game right now, as I said. The first one I did today is arguably the best basketball game I've ever done. And it involved the Cardinals. It involved a bad result for the Cardinals. But it was the Greenwich Trinity Catholic 2002, January 2002. The two teams were 1-2 in the state. Trinity Catholic was number one. Greenwich was number two. Cardinals were down big in that game, rallied, and eventually took the lead on a putback off a missed free throw by Tim Smallwood, a chance to tie it, and instead Cornelio Gabunda, who was such a big force down low, so tall, he was able to swipe the loose ball and put it home and give the Cardinals a one-point lead, but Dave McClure, who would go on and play for Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, went to the other end of the floor, worked off a rebound, and put that home at the buzzer, and Trinity Catholic won the game that I described as insanity on the air, January 2002. That was like an out-of-body experience that night. It was crazy night, so crazy that the fire marshal, I never saw proof of this, but this is what I was told. Fire marshal said Greenwich couldn't let anybody else in the building. It got that crowded. That crowded, standing room only, and it was just a crazy, crazy night. It was a lot of fun. Second game I did was a Greenwich New Canaan hockey game from same time, 2002. These are all January 2002. I just know John Spang and Harold Turk were on the call with me. And Greenwich lost, I think, 3-2, I think. And then right now, it's a Greenwich-Stanford basketball game. And that's going on out in the other room, in my living room. I've got a little setup out there through a cassette recorder and player, and then into an amplifier, and running that off into a computer setup via USB, so that's working. It's doing the job. So anyway, that's how my Thursday's going. Worked a little bit as well. So happy to have you along. And that's not the top news. I'm burying the top news. The top news, as you heard at the top of the hour in our national newscast, Tim McCarver has died at the age of 81. And McCarver had, it's not unfair to compare him to the likes of a Phil Rizzuto, a Frank Gifford, a Pat Summerall, athletes who had very respected and even Hall of Fame careers, who then became broadcasters. And for some of you, like growing up, I don't know when I finally put two and two together that either Phil Rizzuto or Frank Gifford or Pat Summerall had played professional sports. It took a while. McCarver, I remember as a player. Not well, but he played until 1980. but all in the National League. Very briefly in the American League. He was with the Red Sox in 74 and 12 games into 75. But otherwise, you know, his entire career is, you know, 23 games in the American League. Everything else was in the NL, and I was almost always watching American League baseball. But a very good baseball career. A career 271 hitter, over 21 seasons as a catcher. Now, he moved around a bit, but as late as 1979, he's still trying to catch a little bit. A little bit. Never a power guy. Only hit 97 home runs for his entire career. His career high was 14 in 1966. 14 in 67, sorry. And he was second in the MVP voting that year. For a Cardinals team that would go on and win the World Series, and let's face it, they were running away with everything. You know, Orlando Cepeda won the MVP. Cepeda was 325, 25 homers, 111 runs batted in, a 923 OPS. Where McCarver was 295, 14 homers, 69 runs batted in. But he was also a catcher, and it's a more physically demanding position as opposed to Cepeda. That's a pretty good year, though. McCarver actually had 13 doubles and led the National League in 1966. So he was a good player, a very good player, and he formed good partnerships with a couple of really difficult pitchers. I mean, Bob Gibson was a lovely man away from the pitcher's mound. Could be funny, glib, but on the pitcher's mound, man, you didn't want to mess with him. You just didn't. But McCarver knew how to handle him. And he and Gibson were close. And later on, he formed a partnership with Steve Carlton. And Carlton was nuts. Let's be honest. But he and McCarver and Carlton in 72 with the Phillies. I mean, the Phillies are morbid. They're terrible that year. They're really a bad baseball team. 59 and 97, sixth in the National League East. But Carlton, let's see, where is his numbers? 27 and 10 with a 1.97 ERA, making 41 starts and 346 in the third innings. Think baseball was different? Struck out 310. Had a crazy good year in 72. And oh, by the way, what a shock. Won the Cy Young. I'm sure Tom Seaver was supposed to win the Cy Young that year. He did not. He finished, by the way, tied for fifth. Yeah, it's not even close to compare Seaver and Carlton. And I'm not going to. It wouldn't be fair. Seaver was 35 starts, 21 and 12, 2.92 ERA. A very good year. Very good year. I mean, I love Seaver. Steve Blass was actually second in the 72 Cy Young. For the Pirates, he went 19 and 8 with a 2.49 ERA. But Carlton was far and away the best pitcher in 72. On a team that was dreadful. And McCarver at least can take a bow for being his catcher. And at the plate, McCarver goes... Now he only plays 45 games that year, by the way. But he does play a role. Let's see. What did he do total for 72? He hit 246. Not great. 7 homers, 34 runs batted in. Didn't have a great 72. But actually spent part of 72 in Montreal with the Expos. But McCarver has this career. From 1959, when he comes up with the Cardinals, through 69, goes to the Phillies in 70, through 72, goes over to the Expos, comes back to the Cardinals in 73, 74, then goes to the Red Sox for 74 and part of 75, comes back to the Phillies for the balance of his career, and is on the 80s Philly team, but he only plays six games that year. But that is a Phillies team that did win the World Series. In the postseason, he's a career 273 hitter. Only two home runs, but I say only for a reason. 12 runs batted in. He hit 478 in 1964 against the Yankees in a great, great seven-game series. The last gasp for Mantle, and Roger Maris is on that team, and, you know, it's still Whitey Ford, and it's still a good Yankee team and a borderline great Yankee team. And that Yankee team gave the Cardinals all they could handle right up until Game 7. It went to a seven-game series when Bob Gibson beat Mel Stottlemyre 7-5. Yankees won Game... Cardinals won Game 2, Game 1. Yankees won Game 2. Yankees took Game 3, but the Cardinals took 4 and 5. Yankees won big in St. Louis in Game 6. And then they lost 7-5 in Game 7 in St. Louis. But McCarver was, you know, a difference maker. As I said, you know, he was 11 for 23 and drove in 5 runs with a grand slam. Hit 478. Had a very, very good baseball career. But that's only just part of his legacy of how we're remembering him today. Because so many are remembering him for being a broadcaster. And when his career ends, he does become a major league broadcaster and a very good one. Now, he was polarizing. Timmy Mac didn't give, if you know what I mean. He didn't care. He'd tell it how it was. If you didn't like it, fine. I didn't often agree with him. I'd get mad at him. But he could broadcast. And eventually etched his name doing as many World Series as almost anyone. Had a very good run. And also a very good run with a TV show, an interview show that he did. The Tim McCarver Show. Did that for a long time as well. Did a lot. Did a lot in his career. And we'll talk more about it when we come back. We'll dive into it. Didn't start with the Mets, but definitely made a big name with the Mets. We'll do that and more. 419 on a Thursday. We continue on Doubleheader. 1490 AM, WGCH.com.
Many doctors and specialists recommend eating a diet rich in fruits and vegetables because they are scientifically proven to provide your body with numerous benefits. Inside each fruit and vegetable are thousands of nutrients known as phytochemicals. They help to keep your cells strong and healthy. For years, scientists have isolated certain phytochemicals, creating artificial vitamins. But phytochemicals need to work together, and isolating them can have harmful effects. Only by eating whole fruits and vegetables can you get all the phytochemicals working together in harmony. At Balance of Nature, we understand this. That is why we use whole, natural produce in our products, providing your body with all the nutrition it needs on a daily basis. See why people all across the world are taking Balance of Nature by going to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code Laura.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Rain for tonight, turning to showers overnight, breezy in the mid-50s, then rain showers tomorrow ending, followed by clearing skies, breezy and cooler, 55 in the morning, falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Mostly clear, breezy, and colder for tomorrow night in the mid-20s with wind chills 10 to 15, then sunny and seasonable for Saturday near 40. Save time, gas, and money by taking the Port Chef ferry to Long Island. Enjoy the relaxing trip while you float your way to your Long Island destination. Leave your car on shore or take it with you. For more information, call the Port Chef ferry at 888-443-3779. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosch on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Tim McCarver with the call. 1999, Yankee Stadium. What a day. What a day. It's Yogi Berra Day. And you probably know the story. Yogi Berra Day in the Bronx. First time Yogi has been back since he was fired by George Steinbrenner in 1985. Don Larsen is on hand. Larsen, of course, pitched the famous perfect game in 1956. And now David Cone goes out there on Yogi Berra Day with Don Larsen in the house, and he throws a perfect game on a day that he also got sidelined, Coney did, because there was a rain delay in the middle of it. And Coney got to go out and finish the job. Tim McCarver made the call on Fox 5 in New York, and I love him to death. He's my favorite athlete ever and played a role in my wanting to do this business. But Bobby Mercer did jump the call. I'm willing to forgive it because it's Bobby Ray, but he did jump the call. But does make me smile. But we did lose Tim McCarver today, and I was remembering some of his broadcasting career, which begins in earnest, where primarily he was a color commentator. Now, he did some play-by-play. On the national stage, he was a color commentator. At the local level, he'd do some play-by-play, like you just heard on Fox 5. With Bobby Mercer that day, they split the duties on that Yankees-Montreal Expos game in 99. He won 3 Emmy Awards, began his career on Channel 17 in Philly, WPHL-TV, where he was teamed with the great duo of Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis, did some Phillies games, began co-hosting HBO's Race for the Pennant, and I'd forgotten about this, was a backup commentator on NBC's Game of the Week. So he actually worked for all 4 major TV networks that have done baseball, at least during his career. Started with NBC, came over to ABC, and teamed with Don Drysdale on Monday Night Baseball, eventually worked with Al Michaels and Jim Palmer for about 5 seasons, and then later on under the Baseball Network umbrella, still on ABC. Went to CBS in 90 and 91 up to 93, first with Jack Buck for those first 2 years, and then Sean McDonough the latter 2, and then, of course, was with Joe Buck on Fox from 96 until 2013. And truth of the matter is, it felt like if you were a Yankee fan, Tim McCarver was in your living room every October. Every October. And what did I say? 1996, World Series. How about Game 4 down in Atlanta? This is some prescient commentary from McCarver. Joe Buck on the call. May hear Bob Brenly, I'm not sure. But Joe Buck doing the play-by-play. And McCarver breaking down the at-bat with Jim Leyritz at the plate.
I think Rollins is going to the breaking ball too much. This situation right here, this is a game situation. It's almost like Bobby Cox is shaking his head. If you get beat, you want to get beat on your best pitch, not your third best pitch.
Again, the 2-2 to Leyritz. In the air to left field. Back at the track, at the wall.
A slider in the eyes of Leyritz. Another slider from Rollins.
And it was. It was a slider. It hung. It just hung in the zone. And Leyritz who was one of those people who had the ability to do those kinds of things, he walloped it. I mean, he destroyed it. So, yeah. McCarver knew a thing or two. Now, look, McCarver could be easily criticized as well, but he did a ton. In 85, he gets on the World Series. Howard Cosell is supposed to be on that World Series. But Cosell got removed after excerpts from his book that was coming out at that time, I Never Played the Game. He was critical of ABC. He ripped on Al Michaels, who he would have been working that World Series with, by the way. He ripped on everybody. Excerpts were in TV Guide, and so Rune Arledge popped him on. And there you go. And away he went. Started, you know, doing color. And eventually found himself doing freestyle skiing in 88 at the Winter Olympics in Calgary, and was a primetime host with CBS with Paula Zahn in 92. Wasn't that the one in, what was 92? Yeah, Albertville. That's right, France. That's right. I vaguely remember it. But as a local broadcaster, did the Phillies, did the Mets for 16 years, where he really got to kind of hone his skills, but then really exploded on the national scene. Came over to the Yankees for 3 years, 99 to 2001, went to the Giants in 2002, and eventually wound up back with the Cardinals. He had never broadcast with the Cardinals, but he wound up broadcasting them for a stretch late in his career. Stayed with it from, he did the 2013 World Series, Red Sox-Cardinals, moved over and did some games with the Cardinals on Fox Sports Midwest, stayed with them through that stretch, and then decided with COVID he wasn't going to stay and do any games in 2020, didn't do games in 21 either, and then early 22 announced that he was retiring entirely. And but he was, you know, he got criticism. He criticized Deion Sanders for doing the playing both baseball and football. Sanders didn't like that. The critic Norman Chad in Sports Illustrated, and someone said this to me earlier today. Norman Chad said that he's someone who, quote, when you ask him the time, he will tell you how a watch works, which is a reference to McCarver's habit of overanalyzing. He did overanalyze. He could be polarizing. Let's be fair. Let's be fair. But I liked him overall. But he made mistakes. He ripped on Manny Ramirez. He ripped on Roger Clemens against Mike Piazza. I mean, that bugged me. But especially when his guy was Bob Gibson. Hello. Still a heck of a life. Married to his high school sweetheart, Ann, from 1964 on, and died earlier today at the age of 81. I liked him. I did. Paul Silverfarb and I used to have arguments about McCarver, God, all the time. I almost tagged him today to give him a hard time when I found out. Back. Three-time Sports Emmy Award, Ford Frick Award in 2012 from the Hall of Fame. Heck of a career, heck of a life. Died today at the age of 81. All right, we'll take a break. I don't know where we're going with the rest of the show. You can go anywhere. Whatever you want to do. Can't go to dead air. I know sometimes people wish both McCarver and I would shut up. 4:30, doubleheader. We'll be back after this.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Rain for tonight, turning to showers overnight, breezy in the mid-50s, then rain showers tomorrow ending, followed by clearing skies, breezy and cooler, 55 in the morning, falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Mostly clear, breezy, and colder for tomorrow night in the mid-20s with wind chills 10 to 15, then sunny and seasonable for Saturday near 40. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never really thought about tools until I bought a house in the suburbs.
It's like this weird homeowner test if I need a tool for a project and don't have it. And my neighbor Ted loves to give me that look when I ask to borrow a pole saw. A year ago, I didn't even know pole saws existed. And now I gotta borrow one from Ted? What is happening?
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Sue and I truly mean it. Our dogs are part of the family. We love Otto and Snoopy, and there's nothing like their spirit and loyal companionship. So this unique relationship that we all have with our dogs is the inspiration for the wonderful new supplement added to dog food, Rough Greens, R-U-F-F. Whether it's taking a snooze at my feet or following Sue around the house, we want Otto and Snoopy as healthy as possible, as long as possible. Our dogs are interested in feeling strong and energetic. Selfishly, I'm investing in more fireside cigar snoozes with them. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Rough Greens founder, teaches dog food is dead food, resulting in low energy, itching, bad breath, digestive problems. Don't change your dog's food, just sprinkle on Rough Greens. It's the right vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and omega oils dogs need. Dr. Black is so confident in Rough Greens, he offers a free jumpstart trial bag. Just handle shipping. RoughGreens.com/Dennis. That's RuffGreens.com/Dennis.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude, a lot of heart, and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun. I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out. 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on AM 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Aims a 3-2 count, a split finger fastball by Mike Moore. Pounced on by Terry Steinbach, the Oakland catcher. But look at the tough throw that he had to complete the play with Brett Butler running between him and Clark. Flash forward to the bottom of the fourth inning. Dave Parker barely, by inches, just misses a home run. Candy Maldonado with the hesitation, allowing Jose Canseco to score, and he fails to get Dave Parker at second base. So the Oakland A's take.
I'll tell you what, we're having a real...
Welcome back to Doubleheader, everyone. Hang on.
Well, I don't know if we're on the air. We are in commercial, I guess. Yes, yes, we hear you. I guess...
That's the 1989 World Series Game 3. That was the earthquake.
I don't know if we're on the air or not, and I'm not sure I care at the moment, but we are. Well, folks, that's the greatest open in the history of television, bar none.
There you go. Al Michaels and Tim McCarver. McCarver was breaking down Game 2 highlights when all of a sudden you could hear him start to hesitate. And because Candlestick Park was starting to shake. And then it got really bad, and of course the picture dropped out, and you know, and if you know, you know. You know? You do know. If you watched it, if you experienced it, you know. And I did. I was watching it that night in October 1989 and just astounded at what I was watching. And McCarver was right in the middle of that. McCarver was in the middle of a lot of things in his life and in his career. Heard him interviewed many times. Heard him with Don Imus. Heard him with Mike and the Mad Dog. He was, you know, he was a presence. But again, loved and hated. That's the truth. Loved and hated. So Tim McCarver has passed at the age of 81. And I, you know, when you give up essentially a 60-year baseball career, sometimes, you know, you're concerned that there's a reason. And I don't know if he had been sick. I just know that, you know, he had stopped broadcasting after 2019, had concerns about COVID in 2020, and that's, you know, I'm not going to question anyone. Elected to not come back in 21 and then announced his retirement in 22, and now here today we find out the news that we've lost him. And the Mets have tweeted about him. Others have, you know, tweeted about McCarver. Guy had a big impact on baseball. He really did. He really did have a big impact on baseball in the way that some broadcasters just had the ability to do so. And you think about it, and I'm just reading a tweet about this now. CBS Sports had some really big names on its air in the 80s into the 90s. And in the span of a little over a year, we have lost John Madden, Billy Packer, and now Tim McCarver. Pretty remarkable. But, it was a big deal when Buck and McCarver showed up. Love him or hate him, it was a big deal. The Mets statement on Tim McCarver reads as follows. We are saddened to learn of the passing today of Tim McCarver, who for 16 years in the television booth gave Mets fans an insightful, humorous, and knowledgeable behind-the-scenes look into the game of baseball. Tim drew on his 21-year career as a catcher to give viewers a unique opinion on what went on between the lines. We send our condolences to his daughters, Kathy and Kelly, and the rest of the McCarver family. So a statement from the Mets regarding Tim McCarver, who really did. He saw it all. On a local level, on a national level, great career, great life. Yeah, I'm sorry to read of his passing. I really am. I really am. So 4:38, and boy, it is mighty quiet, isn't it? Without football, with baseball just trying to rev itself up in Florida and Arizona, of course, not to be forgotten. But it's easy to think of baseball as being just in Florida because, you know, our three quote-unquote local teams, including the Red Sox because they're on GCH, whether I like that or not, I don't mind it, actually, but all three teams are in Florida. Red Sox in Fort Myers, Yankees are in Tampa, and the Mets out in Port St. Lucie, out in the east, Atlantic coast. While the Yanks and Mets are Gulf Coast-based. Or the Yanks and Red Sox, rather. And I'm seeing some of the dispatches coming back, and yeah, I have concerns about Frankie Montas and you know, some of the other stuff going on with the Yankees, but it's just nice to see. You know, when we were growing up, when I was a kid, you know, back in the day, you didn't get a lot from spring training. You maybe got a blurb on the weeknight, on the, you know, nightly sports. Maybe there was a picture in the newspaper. Because I was a voracious newspaper reader. My dad would bring the paper home, and I would sit and I'd look at the daily news every day. And that's what you got. Now with social media, not to sound like there's this new thing called the internet, but, you know, now you can look at Twitter and whoever it is that your reporter is, Andy Martino, Brian Hoke, whomever, Lindsay Adler, Marley Rivera, it doesn't matter. Somebody's posting and tweeting something, and so you've got a little more of a personal touch. Even people that aren't nationally known, my friend John Brophy down in Florida, he's posting stuff of the minor leaguers and all kinds of goodies. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It makes you feel like you're on the right path and getting closer. And we are. We are. I mean, we can't be that far away from games. And some of those games will be on a radio, on a TV. The TV package. I don't even want to get into the whole, you know, the blackout thing. Again, Rob Manfred just does not get it. He really doesn't get it. And it's troubling to me. To me, it is very troubling. because blackouts should not be happening still in 2023. I shouldn't have to keep my cable package simply because I want the YES Network. And by the way, as much as I like the YES Network, and I'll go back to it occasionally when it's non-baseball season, I don't go to the net to watch Nets games. I'm not going to listen to Ryan Rucco. I'm not doing it. Sean Saylor, God bless him, he is a Nets fan. But, so what I'm saying to you is, from basically sometime in the next couple of days, when the first games start appearing, until October, I will watch the YES Network. Pretty religiously, and primarily for the games, primarily. I'll watch it for some other stuff, but... but that's the ridiculousness of it all, is that you can't just a la carte go out and buy a YES Network package online. Can't do it. Or you can't go to MLB at bat and say, I only want to watch Yankees games, and buy a Yankees package here in Connecticut, here in New York, because we're in the home market. We get, dare I say, screwed in the home market. That's all there is to it. I mean, that is a fact which cannot be disputed. February 24th and 25th has glimpses of games that Friday and Saturday. The Yankees are at the Phillies at Clearwater on the 25th, and the Mets host the Miami Marlins on the 25th. I saw Terry Collins had taken a job with the Marlins, and good for him. I don't know how I feel about Carlos Beltran coming back to the Mets. It's fine. Like, I appreciated Carlos trying to be a broadcaster last year. No, I didn't think he was particularly good, but I felt you had to give him a chance. The problem is with Carlos Beltran or Cameron Maben, who it also didn't work out with, and he'll go find another gig. Cameron's got a good personality. But we take these guys who have no training, and we don't put them on... you know, they're not going off and doing color on a Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders game. They're not. They're coming straight to the Bronx and trying to be a YES Network Yankee broadcaster. You know, Tom Brady will get some practice. They do. It's not to say they don't get practice. We're talking about practice. They get it. They do. You know, like Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, I forget what game it was. I think it was a scrimmage, preseason game before Romo started for real, and they sat at game and just called the game, not on the air. So, yes, there are practice scenarios. Well, Tom Brady's going to go through the same thing, assuming he still takes this $375 million Fox deal. So, yeah. Oh, the Mets actually, I think, are opening in a split squad from the looks of it. At home and at Houston. Yankees are definitely at the Phillies. So all that on February 25th. And that's where we're starting. So there you go. You're 9 days away, basically. The Red Sox have, I think, a Northeastern University game on the 24th, from the looks of it. So I like that. Get things off to a good start, and away we go. So yeah, it's around the corner, and it's a good feeling. I've told you a few times I'm gonna be down there, and my cousin and I have talked about it. We are at the very least going to a game. I don't know if we'll go to more, but we are going to go to a game, probably at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, so Sean can see a game, because he, you know, likes to go to a game. Although the Philly Stadium in Clearwater is really nice as well. Probably going to a Tampa Bay Lightning game as well. I know. I can't get away with it. And when it comes to me and my cousin getting together, there's no stopping us when it comes to this stuff. Last time I went to Florida with him and met him down there, he and I went to a Tampa Bay Rays-Atlanta Braves game. And we had the best time. And you're talking to two people who are Yankee season ticket holders for years, so we know a thing or two about this stuff. We do. 4:46 on doubleheader. I was nosing around looking at the FCAC as we get closer. I saw a little Greenwich basketball from last night. Cardinals falling to the Wilton Warriors, and Wilton's really good. Wilton's really good. So we can look at that, but the FCAC playoffs are basically lined up and good to go. Ludlow wrapped up an undefeated season on Wednesday night. They get the one. So they will play at 7 o'clock against Greenwich. 7 o'clock Saturday night, Staples High School. So four games on the 18th on Saturday. Ward and New Canaan at 1 o'clock. That's the 3-6. Number 2 St. Joe's and number 7 Danbury. That is 3 o'clock. The 5 o'clock game is really good. Number 4 Ridgefield, number 5 Trumbull. I actually kind of nudged Jeff Alterman before and said, "Hey, Jeff, you going to do any FCAC playoff games?" So, and then the Greenwich-Ludlow game, the 1-8 matchup at 7. So four games, Staples High School. And the semifinals are Tuesday night at Trumbull at 6 and 7:45, and the championship next Thursday, Sean Adams' birthday, at 7 o'clock. And the regular season has come to a close. Wilton beat Greenwich 49-42 last night. Ridgefield over St. Joe's. Ludlow beat New Canaan. Danbury beat up on West Hill. And Trumbull over McMahon. So that's that for girls basketball. Boys basketball still has about a week left in it. And you're probably, now, let's see, they didn't do the FCAC breakdown yet, but your top three seeds right now, with basically two or three games remaining, would be Ridgefield's 11-1, Ward and Danbury are both 11-2 in the FCAC. They're overall records are equally fantastic. I mean, Danbury's 16-2. Then from there, there's a little bit of a drop-off. The next teams have 8 FCAC wins. Stamford's 8-5, Staples is 8-5, Wilton is 8-5. Before you get to 7-6 for New Canaan. Trumbull and McMahon are all 7-6 as well. Greenwich is 5-8, 9-9 overall. They'll be a state playoff team, but probably not an FCAC playoff team. So they've got to get that all figured out. And then we will have those playoffs as well. And they are on the way. They're the following weekend. They are the following weekend. Let me confirm that for you. I mean, I know they are, but girls basketball, girls. Okay, here we go. Saturday the 25th at Ward, the 3-6 game at noon, the 2-7 at 2, 4-5 is at 5 o'clock, and the 1-8 at 7. So the same concept. Same concept. Semis at Wilton on the 28th, games at 6 and 7:45, and then the boys basketball championship on Thursday, March 2nd at 7. People are asking me if I'm broadcasting it. I do not know yet. I'll just be completely honest with you. I do not know. I hope I am. I kind of given up on broadcasting the hockey tournament just for one reason or another. I think I said it yesterday, and, you know, I said it yesterday. If Darien is involved, Darien will do those games. They will broadcast them. That's all, like it or not. And I have thoughts on stuff like that. I love Damian Andrew. Love him. Love the people with DAF Media. But I do have some thoughts on who and what should be broadcasting conference championships. There's a deeper answer there without me going all in. And, oh, did you hear what Rob said? No, I don't feel like going there. Girls hockey is set. Number 1, Darien takes on the 4 seed Greenwich at 6. And then the 2-3 game is New Canaan and Stanford West Hill Staples at 7:45, and then the FCAC Championship is Saturday the 25th at 4:30. All of that at the Darien Ice House. Bring a sleeping bag. I do miss Terry Connors. I will say that. I guess Terry Connors had gotten too expensive, Terry Connors rink in Stanford. That just felt like it was home. You know, and for me, the only time I ever sat in Terry Connors rink was to watch a kind of a skating exposition when our colleague Joy Marshall's daughter Olivia was skating in it. And Sean and I went. We went and watched. She was great. It was enjoyable. We had a nice time. But that's the only time I've ever sat and watched hockey there. Otherwise, I'm there as a broadcaster. And there's a nice little broadcasting perch, nice view up top. Always liked it there. Always liked it there. But, you know, times move on, things get expensive, and that's how it goes. So Darien Ice House is perfectly good. It's fine. It's a good place. I have called a lot of games from that ballet studio, that dance studio that looks down on, and you're looking rink-wide, you know, you're looking the length of the rink, which is not ideal, but I've done it so many times, I'm kind of used to it. So, all good. So, yeah, the FCACs are coming up. And they're going to be here before you know it. Boys ice hockey, not determined yet. We know that the first round games, the playdowns and whatnot, are the 25th. Semifinals are March 1st. And then the championship is at the Danbury Ice Arena on March 4th at 3. Could be available on March 4th. Oh, I should finish with a note. Oh, okay. That's how we're going to finish the show. 4:53. We will take a final break, and then we will come back and put a wrap on this edition of the program. Doubleheader continues. We wrap up for a Thursday and for the week. No show tomorrow here on 1490 and WGCH.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Rain for tonight, turning to showers overnight, breezy in the mid-50s, then rain showers tomorrow ending, followed by clearing skies, breezy and cooler, 55 in the morning, falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Mostly clear, breezy and colder for tomorrow night in the mid-20s with wind chills 10 to 15, then sunny and seasonable for Saturday near 40. Save time, gas, and money by taking the Port Chef Ferry to Long Island. Enjoy the relaxing trip while you float your way to your Long Island destination. Leave your car onshore or take it with you. For more information, call the Port Jeff Ferry at 888-443-3779. I'm meteorologist Chris Rocha on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
You know that your dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. At Key City Capital, we know that as well and would like you to know about investments we believe can make sense in an inflationary environment. For more details, check us out at keycitycapital.com. Key City offers passive investments in cash-flowing real estate that can help offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. When prices rise, more couples and families further delay homeownership. Key City Capital owns thousands of rental units with attractive prospects for income and appreciation as more and more renters apply to live in their communities. Let the team at Key City Capital grow your wealth and diversify your investment portfolio. Connect with them today at keycitycapital.com or call 817-912-1569, 817-912-1569. Again, that's keycitycapital.com or call 817-912-1569, 817-912-1569.
Our final couple of minutes together, I almost neglected because I wasn't there yesterday. I mentioned on yesterday's show, but Brunswick played a pretty big basketball game against Greenwich Country Day and beat them by 5, 77-72. Will Graves had 14 points. Wyatt Treisman was the high man with 24, and Ethan Long finished with 22. So good for Will Graves coming off the bench and throwing 14 in. Long has been terrific, and Treisman's been their leader. Treisman and John Sigurdsson are the big boys, but Ethan Long can shoot the ball. He's a heck of an athlete. Really an outstanding athlete. But It also gives the Bruins the top seed in the FAA. So they will be home. I don't think I will see Brunswick hockey in the playoffs. I think my game tomorrow, which is why I won't be here when they face Frederick Gunn tomorrow, I think that's going to be it for Brunswick hockey, because I think their playoff games will be on the road, and at least as of now, I have not done any road games. So probably we'll see the basketball team in their ride to get to the to get to an FAA championship. So I saw one video come out. Basically, the gym was overpacked, much like that Trinity Catholic game I was talking about at the beginning of the show. And for whatever reason, I offered to go do the game, but you know, we didn't do it. So good for the Bruins, excellent win, and now on to the playoffs. They have a game tonight at Greens Farms Academy, so that's how they'll wrap up their regular season, and then playoffs, and you know, and their playoffs there are a much shorter thing. You get a quarterfinal, a semifinal, and a championship, and unless you get invited to go higher, it's over. Like, it'll be over in a week or so. You know, I would imagine probably by next Saturday, they're done. Where you make a good run in the state of Connecticut, in the CIAC, you're going till, I think it's March 20th. Like, there's still a month left. If you're able to make the run to the Sun, there's like another month in your season. It's just different. Just different. So I wanted to shout out head coach Steve Jurecek and the Brunswick Bruins as they wrap up the one seed. And we'll have some home playoff games. And maybe, you know, maybe make a run again. That was a disappointing finish for them last year. No doubt it's been a mission for them ever since. They lost to St. Luke's in the FAA championship at home last year. And you know that's been a bitter pill for them ever since. And St. Luke's was pretty efficient that day. Beat them pretty good. I forget the final score, but it was pretty definitive. Now it's the Bruins' chance to see if they can write a different finish here in 2023. So we will see. But I imagine, I don't have any firm dates yet, but I would imagine by next Saturday there's a championship game. Quarterfinal, semis, done. So hopefully it's a busy week next week in terms of calling games. It's a very wide open week that I have no idea how it's going to play out yet. I just have like question marks all over my calendar. Looking at my calendar right now, there's just question marks everywhere. That's it. What is not questioned is no show tomorrow because of doing Frederick Gunn in Brunswick. And then Monday I will probably join you for a President's Day show from Poughkeepsie. I will go up to Poughkeepsie because Zoles and Fran asked me to come up to do Poughkeepsie Nissan Monday Night Sports. So I'll do doubleheader from up there. And then we'll see. I hope there's FAA. I hope there's FCAC for me to call. I hope I'm pulling my hair out trying to work out a schedule over the next couple of weeks, because that's what you do. And that's it for this show. We will see you on Monday, unless you decide to join me for hockey tomorrow, which I hope you do, over on Local Live or on Robcasting. Of course, black is not a Mets color. I think even Tim McCarver would agree with that, but I can't say that for sure. I'm Rob Adams. Thanks for listening to Doubleheader. Thanks for watching it over here on Facebook Live. But you listen to it on 1490 AM and WGCH.com. Laura Smith is next. Enjoy your Thursday night. Nice temperatures, but it is rainy, so take care of yourself outside. We'll see you then. Take care. Good night, everyone.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Questions still remain over a major trail derailment in Ohio that resulted in toxic chemical exposure.
They're working to get to the bottom of what caused the derailment, monitoring air quality, collecting soil samples, testing surface and groundwater for any contaminants.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said local and federal authorities are working to get to the bottom of what happened. She said the administration's deploying teams from HHS and CDC to to East Palestine. The derailment earlier this month caused toxic chemicals to be released into the soil and air. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 431 points to 33,696. The S&P 500 dropped 57 points to 4090. The NASDAQ lost 214 points to 11,855. Immigrant organizations are blasting Florida's governor for signing into law a bill funding more migrant flights to sanctuary cities. Americans for Migrant Justice, Shailen Flaherty, spoke about the new law.
We have a state government that is trying to erect its own state-led immigration system.
The immigrant attorney believes this law will be challenged in federal court, but in the meantime, migrants will be living in fear. The Republican governor claims the $10 million is helping send migrants to places where they're wanted. President Biden is sharing an update on flying objects that were recently taken out of the sky. The president said the last three were likely related to commercial or research purposes. He noted crews are still trying to recover the debris and assess what they are. When speaking on the Chinese surveillance balloon, Biden said he ordered it to be shot down as soon as it was safe to do so. He said he expects to soon speak to China's leader.
Our diplomats will be engaging further, and I will remain in communication with President Xi.
Biden said entering American airspace has consequences. This is USA News.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. This House Smarts Home Improvement Minute is brought to you by my friends at Ace Hardware. What's the buzz in your garden? Bees can be pests, but without them, we'd never have the flowers and crops that we do. Help give pollinators a place to thrive by adding bee-friendly native plants to your garden now for fall blooms. Which flower species you choose will depend on your region. Ask for assistance at a local nursery specializing in native plants. For more information, go to HouseSmartsRadio.com. And now this.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firms online at CordellCordell.com. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. Online at CordellCordell.com. CordellCordell.com.
The following is an encore presentation.
Welcome to The Way Home with Laura Smith, the show that brings you wonderful guests, helpful advice, and uplifting stories. The Way Home, live inspired. Here's your host, Laura Smith.
Well, I hope indeed you are inspired on a daily basis, and that the guests I bring you make you feel that way on some level. I'm really looking forward to having my friend William DeFore coming, Dr. William DeFore. He actually, we did a radio show together on Sirius XM many years ago, not together, but he was on the same channel that I was running, which was a health and wellness channel. And he's written, I believe it's his eighth book. It's called Good Finding. It's a user.